Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. If you haven't listened and subscribed, please check out the newest shows from Walnut Grovecast, which are called Bonnet Heads and The Little House Book Club. They are available from Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or just visit walnutgrovecast.com for more information. As always, these podcasts are free of charge as well as commercial-free, thanks to the following supporters: Leah Ciappino, Rhonda Ludwig, Margaret LaVisca, Elizabeth Velamagna, Laura Solarin, Julia Schroeder, Leah Mitchell from The Retro TV Podcast, Chris Hessler from the VHS Rewind Podcast, Tanya Weber, Alicia Murphy, Jennifer Jones, Marissa Baker, Kelly Milkey from the Dr. Quincast Podcast, JJ Hurley, Robin Lee, Thoy Rodriguez, Matilda Smith Thompson, Angela Bowen from the Looking Back on My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast, Shannon Quinton, Rebecca Harris, Dana Wilkins, Chantel Dubois Nishiyama, Peyton England, Laura Furman, Gerald Lang from the OSI Files Podcast, Megan Parker, Chris Cooling from the Forgotten TV Podcast, Melissa Halfpint Gilbert, Teresa Trapp, Valerie Williams, The No Agenda Podcast, Sherry Benner, Lydia Kikuchi, Stacey Corrigan, Avira Dabas, Whitney Griggs, Julia Jin, Don Roberts, Max Duration, Aaron Wortman, Liz Serha, Brian S., Bobby Young, Kendi Gleason, Angie Zadava, Megan Eichner, Katie Bollinger, Jeannie Mitchell, Jeff Griffin, Dina Almanzo Butler, Julia Monin, Whitney Cole, Rebecca Frederick, Annie Quinn, Jill Stillman, Michelle Plug, Dottie Cashin, Suzanne Holland, Spunky Cheek, Stacey Keller, Matt Mercier, Cheyenne Hempton, Stephanie Carnes, Alicia Olin, Rachel Boren, and Jeannie Comer. Thank you all for your support. If you would like to support Walnut Grovecast, please visit patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Without further delay, please enjoy the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grove is a place to be. If we're living in 1863, Walnut Grove is a place to be. If we're living in 1863, we have a common place to meet his family. I was homeless till I saw his name. Hello, this is Mark, and you're listening to Walnut Grovecast. You know, I use that little bink as my cue, and I think it's becoming too obvious. Welcome to the show. Today, in our virtual studio, I have Stephanie Bailey. How are you doing, Stephanie?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Thank you so much for doing this, for taking the time to pop on here. And you made it through a wagon talks, and now you made it onto the full episode.
Yay.
Do you want to talk about the episode that you mistook as a different episode?
Yes.
I have to call you out on that.
Yeah,
I mean, here's the thing is I didn't even – well, I'll talk about this a little bit, but I don't even remember this episode. I really don't recall seeing this episode as a kid.
Well, this one I've definitely seen, and then the one I confused it with – was, I believe it's in season 9, because Mr. Edwards is kind of more of a regular cast member again. But first time I sat down and rewatched this for the podcast, I watched with my husband, and he loves Mr. Edwards. And I was like, yeah, this has got Mr. Edwards in it, so you should really like this episode. And
he's like, all right. He puts on his, like, flannel shirt. He's like, I'm going to watch Mr. Edwards.
And he's like, we're almost like halfway through, and I'm just like, where is Mr. Edwards? And I mistook it for the one where he falls in love with a different blind girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know the title of that one. I'm terrible with titles and names, but I know the episode you're talking about. And,
yeah, someone's probably screaming it right now.
It's on my list to actually do with somebody, but I don't know which one it is. So it is, yeah. But we could do reruns. We can repeat things. I'm pretty sure. Maybe not. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm actually supposed to do this episode with that person.
Oh, no.
Wouldn't that be something? So in this episode, we have new characters. We have a couple people we've never seen before in the universe of Little House on the Prairie. We have Annie. We do have Annie, but we have also have Helen and Sorrel Crane. They adopted this young girl, and she's outside of Caroline's. Is it Caroline's now, or is it Nellie's?
It still has Nellie's on the main sign, but on the windows, it's painted as Caroline's. And I feel like you see it from a different angle, too.
Hmm. She's outside painting. And it's funny because I didn't know this was about a blind girl. And I'm like, what's up with her eyes? Her eyes are so big and brown. Like, I'm like, oh my God. Like, also this actress, I do know from a number of things. I know one movie that she was in, but, her name is Madeline Stowe. And I'm not sure why I know her outside of 12 Monkeys. I'm looking here and I've not seen any of these movies. I saw The Last of the Mohicans, but I didn't pay any attention. I didn't like it.
Yeah, that was actually filmed near my hometown, and I've never seen it.
So. Oh, yeah? Yeah, it's one of those kind of... It's very long, I remember. And maybe she was in that. Maybe she was in the promos for that, and that's where I know her from. But she's probably the most modern-looking character to come into Walnut Grove in a long time.
Yeah.
So she's... I'm going to play the opening where we kind of just get an intro to everything.
Okay.
Annie? There'll be a few more minutes. Take your time, Mother.
By the way, how nice was that bell on the door, huh? Maybe the blind school should get one of those.
Mm, nice ring.
Jeez.
You sure you don't want to come in for a minute and have a cup of tea?
Oh, it's too beautiful out, and my hand wants to paint.
All right.
There's a lot of long scenes here. There's going to be a few long clips, but I'm just going to let some of them play. You're right. It does say in the reflection, Caroline's. I could see it. The decor in this restaurant is so strange, too. It's like they have a deer head. I don't know. It's deer just a head. Random deer head.
Well, you know, it's the only decor they can get. I guess they got rid of that moose head of Jonathan's.
So. Yeah.
I don't see any ferns, though, yet.
No, I don't see any ferns in this whole episode. And I was getting a little bit. I was like, maybe you could paint a fern, Annie? That'd be nice. But here, this is Mom. I don't know. These Helen and Sorrel seem super nice, super sweet, amazing parents, right? I mean,
Oh yeah.
I don't have any complaints about them.
I tried to tell you.
I know. It just worries me the way that child is with her painting.
Although at this point, I do remember I didn't really like the way the father was talking about Annie. But maybe it's just painfully painfully honest, and I just don't like how painfully honest he is. But.
She'd starve to death if I didn't force her to stop and eat once in a while.
Here you are. One more tea.
You might as well join us if you're not too busy, Caroline. Annie's not in the mood for tea.
Well, in that case, I will sit.
Good.
It just amazes me. The way that child can put on canvas what she sees in her mind.
You can thank your daughter for that. Putting them paints on the palette for her like a supper plate with azure blue at 12 o'clock and burnt amber at 2. Never could understand how a child almost totally blind could take so to painting.
What? She's blind? That's where you just have to pump the brakes. You're like, wait a minute. I just saw this painting that she was painting.
He might have touched on something right there. It's just kind of clocked something.
Mm-hmm.
He said almost totally blind.
I just heard that too for the first time.
Yeah. And that's when I kind of did a little deep mini dive on, blind artists. They say that like only a certain percentage, a very small percentage of people who are blind are totally like, darkness blind, and then there's the legally blind, and then where they have, you know, some sight, like maybe bright bold colors, they're able to see shapes, very loose shapes. I remember actually one of the the Laura Ingalls Wilder's books, Mary was talking about one of her classmates that she can actually see colors if they're very bright. So maybe this is kind of, because I'm just in my head, I'm trying to wrap around how is she painting these very accurate portraits, or not portraits, yeah. Landscapes.
I mean, so recently I had the opportunity to speak to someone named Chris Grabowski on an episode of Wagon Talks, and Chris is blind, and he reached out to me because of some I was talking about how the episode where Mary goes blind, and we were just kind of discussing, I wonder how blind people feel about this. I wonder how they feel about the depiction. So he reached out to me, a really nice email, and we kind of went back and forth, and he came on. And it hasn't been released yet, but it will. By the time this is out, probably that'll be out. But he was saying, just like you were saying, about being legally blind and all of these other different levels of it. You know, not all blind people are total blackness. Some people can make out the different colors. Just to give Chris a plug, if you go to mysticaccess.com, he actually owns a company that helps people deal with their blindness. And he does a really, awesome. Really great work in, I believe, Western New York. But really nice guy. And I'm really happy that he reached out to me. But
can't wait to hear that episode of Wagon Talks.
Yeah. Very great. I do want to just mention two other things that this episode aired on October 27th, 1980, and this is the Halloween episode, of course.
Yeah.
That's what's up with that? I mean, Halloween episode, people, like, this is the first Halloween of 1980.
It seems like it'd be like a Mother's Day episode or something
Right? A Mother's Day episode. Oh, that would be very good.
Yeah.
But not Halloween. Come on.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Maybe that one painting she paints later in the episode could be the Halloween aspect, but
that was a pretty shocking painting, actually.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, that's pretty good. Maybe Annie is pretty good. She doesn't just make motel art.
Yeah.
It's all her art is very, very Bob Ross. It's very landscapey and it's all nice, you know. It's not my cup of tea.
It's pleasant. It's pleasant.
But we continue to talk about Annie as though she's not right there.
Makes her happy. You know, she says it's the only thing she can see. And I think she can. God gave her that gift.
Well, I wish he'd given her a gift to sew or to teach like your daughter, Caroline.
Oh, snap.
Something she could do to earn her way someday.
Oh, now, Sorrel, don't start that now.
Now, Helen, if I can't talk in front of a friend, who can I talk in front of?
By the way, I have a master's in fine art. I just want to mention this.
Really?
Yeah.
My wife doesn't like to think about our dying, but it's a fact of life. She's going to be alone someday, and the thought of it worries me more than my own passing on.
Ah, I mean, well, I think it's right, but this is the stereotypical, like, how is he gonna, you can't eat the paintings. How are you gonna have a family with those paintings?
Well, these are all the courses I took in college, or art, fine arts, painting, sculpting. Basically, I love to say I'm a jack of all trades, master of none. Just, I've loved to do stuff. Haven't ever found a good niche. You know, just
not yet. You will
not yet, but I've definitely heard these same concerns from my parents when I was growing up. So it's love. The love's there.
I had these concerns when I approached it because I was like, I have no interest in this really, which is why I became a graphic artist. Has nothing to do with fine art, and then I was doing coding. You know, so it's really I should have just went for math. It would have been the smarter choice instead of having to teach myself all this stuff. But nonetheless, we're here. We're here, and we're talking about A Little House on the Prairie. But
living the dream.
Yeah, we are, you know.
Yes.
It really is living the dream. I can't agree more with you, Stephanie. I'm also wondering, I'm thinking that you can also hear Stephanie on the premiere episode of the Little House Book Club, if that's what we ended up naming it. And that's a little bit in the future. I will be releasing that in about a month from right now. So, yeah, we'll see. Hopefully it's a well-received project. Or I'll just edit this out and it'll be as though it never happened. I'm just kidding. No, it's definitely going to be released. I'm not going to, you know, everybody spent so much time on that. But back to 1880, where people just sitting with the help having tea.
Yep.
And Caroline, you know, in this episode, Caroline is very much on her own for most of it.
Yeah.
I found that weird.
She's like, it's all up in her. It's the Caroline show. It really is. She is offering buggies and just.
Yeah, you know, this could be a pilot episode for an episode called Caroline.
Yeah. It almost plays like a sort of, not sitcom-y, but almost like where these people came in and they're interacting with Caroline and Caroline is interacting with them. And, by the way, she has this huge family that you don't really see that much.
I mean, honestly, we are talking about possibly the idea here, a series called Caroline. And it was basically her working, dealing with, you know, Harriet and Nellie. And it's a goofy reason why her name is on the restaurant. And sometimes you get Michael Landon. This was going to be a spinoff right here.
Yeah, it seems like it.
It's possible. And this scene proves it. It's like, here, take this art. Take it. And the dad makes another nasty comment, in my opinion.
Oh, Annie. You ready?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Thank you, Mrs. Ingalls. Is the sky right? It felt right when I did it.
Oh, it's very right.
Would you like to have it?
Oh, I couldn't.
Oh, please. I want you to have it. I have dozens at home, believe me.
Well, I can vouch for that. Half the house is full of paintings.
What? Why do you hate your daughter?
I totally glossed over that because I was like, my first thing was like, oh, Caroline wants to sell it on eBay.
Exactly. On Etsy. I think it's more of an Etsy thing. But, you know, it's one of those. I do want to mention that what is her exact name? Madeline Stowe has probably the best skin I've ever seen in my life. Sorry.
Holy cow. She's very pretty.
Well, she's an attractive girl, but I mean, she's looks like a porcelain doll. It's like crazy. But now that I'm looking at it, maybe most of the people on this episode, maybe they have a new makeup person. I don't know. I just noticed that. I'm like, holy crap. Like, this is a girl who's supposed to be 16 years old. It's not like one pimple. But all right. So Caroline takes the painting. So nice of her. And she's like, it's still wet. And she puts it up in the restaurant to dry. And we get a cool little comment because apparently Annie's mom likes to pickle things. So we get this little comment.
Who wants to buy?
Oh, I won't.
Oh, darn it. Hold on. I have to cue this up exactly because such a tiny little comment.
Well, thanks, Carol.
Yes, Helen. And don't forget those pickles that Nellie wants to buy.
Oh, I won't forget.
Goodbye, Mrs. Ingalls.
Bye.
Bye.
Enough of those pickles.
Ooh, she's pregnant, so she wants some pickles.
I was just thinking about pickles. Oh, you know, I didn't think of that. That's funny, too. But, I mean, everybody likes pickles.
Lovely little Nellie Percival Harriet scene later in the episode.
Yeah, and I loved it. I loved the whole. We didn't get enough of it. I think it could have gone on a lot longer.
Oh, yeah.
But we do get a pipe-smoking gentleman in town who seems to like liverwurst, by the way. I bet he smells like vanilla. I bet he smells like Old Spice and vanilla pipe tobacco.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. He comes in, he's looking at the painting.
Huh?
Oh, whoops.
I'm sorry. I thought you were going to touch it. Beautiful, isn't it?
Extraordinary.
if you look closely, Ma's holding a little sticker, and it says $10. She was going to sell it. Oh, Ma, come on. Jeez. That would be the best. Would that not be the best if it's like, it's only $10 for you right now, eight, with a liverwurst sandwich.
But, dang it.
Yeah. Even more so when you consider the girl that painted it is blind.
She's really blind. Selling it.
Yes.
What a gift. What's the name of the artist?
Annie Crane.
She lives here?
Oh, about a mile or so from town.
When you see her next, would you give her my card, or should say read it to her? My name is Ouch. Jeremy Unger.
Art dealer? Sleepy Eye?
Oh, I have several throughout the state. The largest is in Minneapolis.
I do want to just have a little shout out for Kelly Milkey, that every time I hear the word Sleepy Eye, I think of a wine that comes from there called Sleepy Eye Red.
Yeah.
Just funny. I have to acquire a bottle of this. So yeah, he goes on, I don't know. I went down a quick little rabbit hole of business cards when it became a thing to give a card. I don't know. I couldn't find very much on it. I wish I spent more time on it.
I know they, and here I go. I'm such a book nerd. I go back to the books. I believe it's Little House or Little Town on the Prairie.
Yeah.
Where they are exchanging name cards, which is literally just their name and like a design on it between friends. So, and I remember they had that.
Oh, so it would just be their, like for a pen, not a pen pal really, but I mean, that's interesting.
I know Laura's had her full name on it, and like she had just kind of had a buggy ride with Almanzo. Mm, and fancy. And they swapped cards.
this is a family show, Stephanie.
Sorry.
So it's all right. I get it. All right. So he goes on talking about the art, but I think that's incredible. I have to dig that up, and we'll talk about it when we get to that book. I don't remember that scene at all. Everyone talks about the buggy ride that Almanzo and Laura went on. And I'm like, supposedly Nellie was there too.
Yes, she was.
I got to get in on this. It's exciting.
Yeah, that's a good book. That's a good one. I like that one.
It's Little Town on the Prairie.
I believe it's Little Town though. If I'm wrong, y'all don't shoot me, but I believe it's Little Town on the Prairie.
Okay. I believe you. I think it's a fact.
Here we go. Has this girl done many paintings?
Her father says half a house full.
I'd be very interested in buying her work.
This one's for sale.
If she's interested, I'll be in Sleepy Eye for the next month.
Oh, I'm sure she'll be interested.
Meanwhile, I'd like a liverwurst sandwich and a cup of coffee. The stage does not wait.
Certainly. Just sit right down, Mr. Unger.
Thank you.
Menu's right behind you, sir. It's no liverwurst sandwiches on that menu.
Yeah, you can't really do any off-menu ordering. This is not an Italian restaurant. But so it would be kind of funny because he's just making it up. I'll have a liverwurst sandwich. What, they just happen to have liverwurst?
She's just going to go and get the scrap band and just mush it into a sandwich. Here you go.
Just give him some coon meat on the on some rye bread and wrap it in a sock, and that'll be enough. For
him. I don't even know what liverwurst is. Is it like liver mush? Because that's where we're from.
Yeah,
I know what that is.
Liverwurst is it's very minerally. It's I believe it's pork, but I'm not. Maybe there's beef liverwurst. But yeah, I think it's mostly liver.
I love liver mush, but no, that's more southern.
Wait, is that a thing? Liver mush? Mush?
Mush.
M-U-S-H?
Mm-hmm.
What is mush? Can you, like, if you could, no, I'm being serious. Like, if you could.
Literally, it's called liver mush. It comes in like a loaf, and you can slice it up, and the best is deep fried. But
yeah, that's liverwurst, but I've never heard of it deep fried. That's interesting. And
on a biscuit, deep fried and on a biscuit, I'm definitely showing my North Carolina colors. Is apparently they have a festival. I've never been to that, but it's really good.
Deep fried on a biscuit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way to have it.
Yes.
No, any condiments?
Mayo.
Huh. So
some people do mustard.
In New York, yeah. In New York, it would be deli mustard with a liverwurst on maybe rye bread. I don't know. Something like that. But what you're talking about sounds delicious.
Oh, yeah.
Liverwurst is considered a food that kids hate here. But I think it's the same exact food. But
it's very possible.
I always have mush. Mush as kind of an oatmeal type of thing, like a porridge.
Yeah, that's different, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Learning from the South. All right.
Yeah.
All right, so she goes to fetch him the sandwich, and Caroline reports to Annie and her family.
What can I do for you, nurse? I can't believe it. A real art dealer like my painting.
Not just liked. The word he used was extraordinary.
And he wants to buy them?
That's what he said.
What should we do?
If you ask me, I think you should take a whole wagon full of paintings to Sleepy Eye.
Can we, Pa?
But let me just take this one. You're done with this one, right, Annie? I think this is really great. I love her whole attitude to it, to the whole thing. You know, being discovered. I mean, she's really just a simple girl, a simple life, and she loves doing this, and she's being recognized for it. I mean, what's better than that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, when I was in the painting class, and my instructor asked me to submit a few pieces to, like, an art show, like a competition, I knew I had no chance in winning, but the just thrill of it was so exciting that, like, because you had to submit it to get accepted into it. So when I got my pieces accepted, I was just like, wow, that's amazing.
So, do you do physical art? Like, do you draw and stuff?
Yeah, I draw, I paint. In that instance, it was like canvas paints and stuff like that. So I need to find them, and I think they're at my parents' house, but they were actually kind of Little House on the Prairie-esque.
Oh, we'd love to. I would personally love to see that, but I'm sure other people would as well.
But yeah, they're super old.
Although I do a lot of graphic work and stuff like that, I am an absolutely awful physical artist. I think my sketching and painting and everything is just so amateuristic and awful. It is. I don't have an eye for it. And I certainly don't have a talent for it. But when it comes to computer animation and design and aesthetics of things, I seem to have more of a knack for that. I almost said gift. I think it's more of a knack. It's more of a knack than a gift. I'm in awe of people who can paint and do those kind of things.
That's so funny. I really wish I could do the more computer aspects of it.
But that's all learned. You can just learn it.
Yeah, I'm just old and stubborn.
They'll take you out in the back and shoot you. Talking that way. No way. We'll talk off here. I bet you can learn a lot faster than you think. But all right, here we go.
Well, of course we can. I'll have to borrow a rig.
I already talked to Charles. You can use our wagon.
For a price? No, not for a price. But she does make one of the strangest offerings in Little House in the Prairie history. That's why I think this was a pilot for a show called Caroline.
Yes.
This is the offer, and unheard of. Unheard of.
I'll drive if you like.
What? Yeah. What?
This is why I rewatched this first part over and over again. Is he like incapable of driving? What is going on? I feel like I'm going to have all the people that are like, women can do anything. Yes, I know that. I'm just saying, what is going on that she's offering up Charles's rig And she's like, I'll drive. And then he's in the back getting seasick or whatever, motion sickness.
Yeah, like, I didn't get it either. I there was definitely something that was cut, that was left on the editing room floor that we don't know about. And he did offer to drive here. Yeah. Just the whole thing was strange.
Well, I'd appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
You just met these people 15 minutes ago. We'll never see these people again. We've never seen them before.
No,
I wouldn't. No. Let's quote her on this. I would not miss this for the world. Oh, Caroline Quiner, you're a nut.
We can leave on Saturday. I'll get in touch with Mary. She can put us up at the blind school.
I'll get to be with my classmates again. Oh, I'm so excited. I don't know what to do. Yes, I do. I want to paint. I want to paint happiness.
And I think, I don't know this for sure, but I'm pretty sure there was a line here where the dad says something like, you paint all you want as long as it equals cash at the end of the day. Cash on a barrel, that's what I always say.
You know,
whoa.
Well, let's even talk about this. Like, they never talk in the whole spoiler alert. They don't talk about actual money in any part. Like, they talk about pricings, but they don't mention any actual dollar amounts. And they also talk about half a house full, dozens at home, wagon full. There's just an unscrupulous amount of paintings that she's just got oozing out of her.
Well, little did we realize that there seems to be a booming art scene going on in Sleepy Eye. That we get to see this. We're like, whoa. Because you know what? You can open up an art exhibit in the middle of Soho in Manhattan. You're not going to get half the amount of people. And, you know, so, interesting. Yeah, so we're in the wagon. Sorrel is in the back with his wife. I don't see all these, you know, paintings. Apparently they're there. I don't see them. And we have Ma and Annie up in front. I've never seen this. I've never seen the woman driving in. That's great. Fine, but this is strange. This is odd. This is like the beginning of Caroline's freight service. Caroline's Uber.
It's like she threw a fit, like, and she's like, I want a Caroline centered episode.
I'm not gonna miss it for the world. No, Albert, you can't come. Like, what? Why can't I go see Mary? You don't talk back to me. I'm gonna spend time with my new family.
And meanwhile, Perry's trying to do the work at home and burn down the house.
Oh my God, playing with the orangutan. But Caroline is acting bizarre in this episode, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But it's all right, I guess.
I'll be in Sleepy Eye in an hour.
Oh, good. Just another hour, Sorrel.
So, yeah, like, he doesn't look well.
No.
Now, I looked it up and let's see. Did I find this information? I thought I did. Oh, the distance between Sleepy Eye and Walnut Grove is roughly 40 miles.
Wow.
Right. So a schooner, remember we talked about this in the book, goes about 2 miles per hour if there's no road. Now, if there is a road, you got another mile up there. So We're talking about 3 miles per hour.
There's no way they weren't getting there without camping overnight or something.
No, this is 12. This is 12 hours of riding.
Whew.
Had to have been. Holy cow. What's wrong with these people?
Please God, my behind hasn't been so sore since my pa took a strap to home.
You can't say behind. It's a family show. Sorrel.
I'm so happy.
So am I.
Just, no, but it. They also don't seem as though they are impoverished at all. They seem like they might even be kind of well off. She has gloves on and all of their clothes are kind of, they're very well put together.
Yeah, I'm very interested in, like, all these paintings. And if she's got all these numerous paintings, she's going through painting supplies. And, mm-hmm. and I'm just like, that's some money there. And she's obviously not made any money off them yet. So.
Dang it. I should have looked up all of the painting supplies in my Sears Roebuck catalog. But I will. But it was not that expensive, but it was money. It cost something.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're on their way to Sleepy Eye. I think there's more to it, so I'm just going to play it.
Somebody's very happy.
Oh, I am. It's like a dream. Someone actually liked my paintings.
Why are you so surprised? Everybody that sees them likes them.
Oh, I know, but this is different. This Mr. Unger liked my paintings before he knew I was blind.
Danny.
Try to understand, Mrs. Ingalls. Even if all of you were being honest, it was still at the back of my mind. I mean, why would anybody say anything bad about my paintings? I can't see them, and no one wants to hurt a blind person. But now... now I know for sure they must look like they do in my mind.
Whoa, someone's ego is inflating. they look okay. But yeah, I mean, it is a really nice thing to... learn that it's not because of her being disabled, for the reason why people like it, of course. And, the exhibition, I mean, we have Mary and Adam, which I'm so happy to see them. It's always nice to see them. And I forget his name, the pipe smoker. He's basically talking about, he's examining and he's going back and forth.
Well, Annie, they're very good. Very good indeed.
Thank you, sir.
Now, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to arrange for an exhibition of your paintings.
An exhibition?
Right. At the blind school. It's a perfect tie-in. But I'll need all the background on you about your schooling, your blindness.
Mr. Unger, do we have to tell them about my being blind? I mean, I don't want them to buy my paintings out of pity.
You're very young and you've got a lot to learn. No one is going to buy your paintings out of pity. Art lovers want their money's worth. But how are we going to get people to buy your paintings if they don't see them?
See, at this point, did you kind of think like, oh, this is going to go south?
Yeah, I was kind of... I went into this not remembering the episode.
Right, don't remember this episode at all from my childhood.
Yeah, and I was thinking, oh crap, is he gonna like exploit her somehow?
I kept thinking they're gonna make it
when people just get themselves into a bigger ugh, you know.
Yeah, I didn't know what they were going to do. I thought maybe they were gonna write an article about like come see the, you know, crazy blind girl. I was just like, oh, this isn't going to end well. It never ends well, right?
Yeah.
But it goes elsewhere.
You're an unknown. That's why we have to use everything we can to get them to see your paintings, to get them out. We have to get people asking themselves, what does a blind girl paint? There are no buts now. Some artists wear outlandish costumes, some do strange things, some even cut off their ears. But no matter what, they make people curious. Once people see your paintings, they're not going to care whether you're blind or not. But first, they've got to see the paintings. Now, what do you say?
It's only going to cost you $500 to get the exhibit started. You know, and it's like, that's how the scam works, you know.
Yeah, and you just have to need your social security number.
This is way before social security.
I get that. Well, he makes a reference that's obvious to Van Gogh, and I really think it's off. I think it's a boo-boo there because he... what year is this supposedly in Little House?
1880.
Okay, so Van Gogh cut off his ear in 1888. And
Oh my God, are you serious?
And he wasn't even...
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, he wasn't even...
Steph, that's a great catch. That's such a good catch.
He wasn't even known until, you know, he didn't barely sell anything until after he posthumously, you know, he died or killed himself, I think. I'm not sure.
In July 29th, 1890, he somehow died.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's why I was just like, That always stuck out to me. I was just like, yeah, no.
That was interesting. I think that that's really, that's an excellent point.
Paper?
She was abandoned at the age of 2.
So we get 2 new characters. A woman who's in bed and a gentleman reading a paper that we just saw. We just saw the headline. Blind girl paints. You know, it's like, let me get the exact title. It's Blind Artist to Have Exhibition. But, so he's reading it to her.
Her sight already growing steadily dim. By the age of 5, she was almost totally blind. When the blind school in Winoka was closed, her foster parents traveled with her to Walnut Grove, where they still reside.
So what happens here? Do you want to talk about this scene a little bit and like what we learn? Because it's such a long, it's like a 5-minute discussion between these two. And it's like, oh my God.
Well, we basically reveal that her name is Marge. This is, Annie is her daughter, is her Mother biological Marge. Daughter. And she had left her on the steps of the Winoka Blind School. And when she was 2, I believe. Yeah. And she's basically kind of relating to her now husband, because we learned that later that her husband that fathered Annie died previously.
Mm-hmm.
And she's telling him, I want you to see if you can reach out to her and see if she would like to see me, or if we could see each other. And she is very obviously blind, and she's requesting he not let Annie know about that.
I wasn't sure if she was blind.
Yeah.
I'm like, maybe she's blind. I couldn't really tell, or she was just sickly. I don't know. I don't think she or Annie do a very good job of being blind, personally. But I just, and it also could lend itself to that thing that we were talking about before, where it's not total blackness. It's possible that we're talking about something that's where you can see changes of light and colors. So if we're going to go that way, all right, it makes a lot more sense. But yeah, you summed it up beautifully. And we get to the exhibit, and it is the best thing that's happened to Sleepy Eye in 300 years.
It's hopping.
It's like, you have the guy walking around giving people champagne. I'm just kidding. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of what you kind of expect. And Ma's just like, oh, I'm just here. I'm just, you know, I'm a friend of the artist.
Can we talk about her dress? It is so unflattering. Ma's dress.
You know, I'm going to take a screenshot because I just happened to have it. And I was just about to say that, but I thought it would be mean. But being that you said it, she looks so frumpy in this thing. It's not even funny. It is ill-fitted. It's awful.
She's a beautiful woman. It was just not looking good.
But, you know, she doesn't look frumpy in the whole episode. But it's this particular thing is very, very not flattering. And her posture is even poor.
Yes.
Oh, Karen Grossley, you're never going to come on this podcast. All right. So no. It's like, thanks a lot, Stephanie. Put a nail in that coffin. I'm just kidding. So here we are at the exhibit, and we're hearing what people are saying about it. And I love it. Annie is just hearing people go on and on about the art, and it's, you know, a few days ago, or, you know, whenever that was, she was just hanging out in front of, you know, the restaurant painting, and now she's this, you know, minor celebrity at this point. Pretty amazing.
She doesn't really have that much tact when it comes to people, because the art guy brings her over to meet someone from London, England. And then she just rams off to her mama and just weaves in there in the lurch.
Well, you know, all these strange people. I don't know how she found, you know, she just went to her mother and I don't know, easily found her.
Yeah.
This is Mr. Malcolm Cole of London Arts Limited.
Mr. Cole?
Miss Crane, I want to congratulate you. Your work is fascinating.
Thank you very much.
And please, call me Annie.
Mr. Cole wants to have some of your paintings for his firm's gallery in London.
London? Not London, England.
No. London, New Jersey. I bet you there is like a London, New York. I know there's a Rome, New York. So what is your thought on looking at artwork made by a blind person? I think it's kind of amazing. The idea of it.
The idea of it is great. I mean, her stuff, although there's talent in whoever painted these, it's definitely not my cup of tea.
No, it's all Bob Ross kind of, happy trees and that kind of stuff.
And I enjoy watching Bob Ross paint, but I don't really like his paintings.
I'd buy a Bob Ross painting because it's Bob Ross, but I wouldn't go out of my way for that stylized look. It sounds like it's neither one of our cup of teas, but we would own a Bob Ross. I would hang out Bob Ross.
It has a very 1970s look to it because my parents literally had something very similar above their very 1970s couch growing up. And
nice.
So it just, it kind of gives off that vibe.
Yeah, that's, you just kind of brought back this idea, and I have to look through some old photographs of mine. But when I grew up, we had this, we had an oil painting, a really big round oil painting of Noah's Ark. And it had a big ship rope around the outer edge of the circle, the round canvas. And I don't know what happened to that. I'm sure we threw it away.
It's like a nautical rope?
Yes, like a real thick one. And I just remember it was always like the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I was just like, this is the worst piece of art I've ever seen. And I just remember it being a big deal when my parents bought it and they hung it. And I'm like, it is awful. It is just, I have to find a picture of this thing because it is really awful. All right. Anyway. Yeah, I'm sorry. You had to talk about your family's art. I had to talk about mine. Yours seemed a lot nicer. I would rather have one of these paintings instead of the Noah's Ark. Nightmares. All right.
I dare. To an Englishman, there is no other London.
Mother!
This stinky man is from London. It sounds like she's going to tell on him.
Accent. I couldn't peg him being from London. I'm not an accent expert, but he doesn't sound like he was from anywhere.
Right. I don't know. That guy could have been Benny Hill for all I know. That guy's not, I don't know. But Harry, she yells across the entire gallery.
London! This gentleman wants to send my paintings to London.
Oh, I heard. I'm so proud.
My mouth is suddenly dry. It must be nerves. Let's get some punch.
Take my arm. My mouth is dry, too.
What's so funny about that?
Mary spiked a punch.
Yeah, seriously. If she knows what's good for her, she spiked that punch. The punch looks good. Everybody's getting punch. I should have done a research thing on that too. Like, what is punch? Like, what is it? Back then.
I'm sure it's different. Yeah. Oh, back then.
Fruits and maraschino cherries. And I'm going to look it up real quick. But so they go in, they get punch, and there's not that many people there, but there's a crowd, I guess. It's a nice thing going on. We learn that there are a couple people there with some serious money they're more interested in how much something costs. Like, they're more impressed with the art if it's worth more or cost more than it is if it's nice or not, So it's kind of like to today's standards. We see Mr. Crosby show up out of nowhere. He's
a fabulous corduroy jacket, by the way.
Oh, I'm looking at it. It's pretty nice, actually.
Crane?
Yes, I am.
My name is Victor Crosby. I wonder if I might have a word with you about your daughter.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Crosby, but Mr. Unger has asked us not to talk price on Annie's paintings.
Well, it really has nothing to do with your daughter's paintings. It's personal. Please, just take a moment.
Well, all right. We can talk in here. Excuse us, Carol.
Certainly.
Now, again, I thought this was where things go south, because everything, it's Little House. It has to go south at some point. And I was like, maybe this is a shakedown. Maybe this is like, you pay us, we'll go away. I just wasn't really sure what was going on here with all of this. As it turns out, I really like Mr. Crosby. I think that he ends up being a pretty nice character. And probably the most enjoyable out of all of the parents here. Well, he was, you know. He's more of a stepfather, if you know, if anything.
Yeah, I definitely find he probably has the most kind of awkward situation out of a lot of the things. I will go ahead and just share this. My husband, when I told him I was doing this episode, he was like, are you going to mention anything about your personal history? And me and my husband are both foster and adoptive parents. So this kind of does touch a little bit of like strings for us, this episode. So there's a few things that kind of trigger you in the wrong way. And I've never been adopted myself. So Amy's perspective of this, I can't really always understand the reasoning behind this, but there's definitely the adoptive parents' perspective I can definitely relate to. So we're kind of getting to some little touchy subjects. That's what I was kind of meaning, like that this has got a couple different things that hit home in this episode for me.
All right. Well, if I say something stupid, let me know.
I'm already offended.
Okay. Good. Mission accomplished. You know, I don't know if you've heard me say this on the show before. It's one of these things where I think adopting or taking in a kid into your home and, you know, helping them figure out the moment, you know, figure out the next step of things is probably the best thing that people can do. I really do. And I genuinely wish my wife was on board with adopting. You know, we have one son and I don't know. I just feel like it's one of these situations where it's one of those situations that I would probably end up being terrible. You know, I'm joking, of course, like meaning it sounds good on paper. Like I'm making these statements, but I'm wondering, you know, in real life, would it be good? But I do think that it's probably the best thing that people can do. Friends of mine different friends of mine have adopted children in the past. And I don't know. I just think it's really, really just one of these great things that we do as a modern culture. And that's it. You know, it's just the end. But I do think it's a great thing that you're doing and what people do, you know, really opening up their lives to people.
Yeah.
You get the bell. All right. So so the next scene is the most awkward scene here where he this is after he's already approached Helen and said, my wife wants to meet her daughter. And you know, it's really one of these things and you have to feel conflicted about this situation.
Well, I definitely am. I have to say, I don't know if you were going to play the clip or not, but...
I was, but I mean... Well, but you could talk.
So my thing is, my first kind of beef or whatever, and again, watched this the first time in a long time with my husband first and him also being an adoptive foster parent, we're like, what happened? Okay, so he approached... Annie's adoptive mother.
Helen.
What was her name? Helen. Yeah. He approached Helen.
Helen Crane.
She comes and grabs Caroline and is like, girl, this just happened. She doesn't go to her husband. She doesn't go to her husband. She's who is in it with her.
I couldn't agree more. Could Annie. Not agree more.
And then she doesn't discuss it with him. And she lets him approach Annie, who's still under their care, and she's not a grown out of the nest kind of child.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, "Who's this guy?" And he's like, "You find out." Like, really? That's one of my biggest beefs in this episode was like, what?
But that's literally the way it goes down. Yes. I am gonna play the clip, and yeah, I need to see it again with my own eyes.
That man downstairs is married to Annie's real mother.
What?
He said that he wanted to talk to her, and I told him no. And he said...
There's also a time and place for things, right? This is not the time, nor is it the place, for there to be the reuniting of this. It's inappropriate. It could not be less appropriate.
Yeah, especially you know what? When it's a good, happy day for her.
Let's start writing a letter. How about that? You know, it's, it just doesn't.
I just can't believe this is happening. It's been such a wonderful day, and Annie is so happy. He said that his wife wanted to see Annie.
It's like you said that already.
I think Carolyn says something that's...
Yeah, like, she does. She.
Yeah, play it.
First thing you better do is calm down.
I thought that was so weird.
I don't think she was in hysterics.
She's perfectly calm.
It's like it's the equivalent of her getting ready to go over there and slap her.
Calm down, Stephanie, calm down. It's like, look, this just happened. Calm down. It's like, calm yourself. Jeez.
I know.
Now, how does Annie feel about her real mother?
We've never even really discussed her. But she remembers. Even though she was only two, she remembers. She remembers that her mother just left her. She's never heard from her.
I think you're going to have to face up to it.
Today, right now, in yeah, 3 minutes.
Before your fancy French dinner.
Oh my God. Spoiler alert. So, all right, so we're not going to go total negative yet because everything is going really well. The art exhibit has been very well received in the town of Sleepy Eye, or the city of Sleepy Eye. We're locking up the art exhibit, and this is the outcome.
Well, young lady, it could not have gone better. They loved your painting, so what about a celebratory party?
I love it.
Good. How long will it take you to get ready?
I'm ready right now.
All right.
Annie, we all need to clean up and change. I think, could you give us an hour, Mr. Unger?
All right, I'll be back in an hour, but you'd better be hungry, young lady, because I'm going to take you to the best French restaurant in the state.
The best? She's 16. She's going to have wine tonight.
Sleepy Eye Red.
Sleepy Eye Red.
And snails.
I hope I can get some meat and potatoes.
Oh, I gotta get ready.
Calm it down, Pa. Oh, Sorrel.
I feel like he's just there for the one-liners.
Yeah, he's so goofy, but I don't know. I don't know how I feel about him, and I sure don't like his corduroy jacket. Ooh, I don't like that at all. You know, it just makes a lot of noise. But, you know, it's very strange. All right, so Mom grabs her hand, and we quickly go into the other room.
Mom, I'd like to wear my blue dress.
Annie, there's someone here who'd like to talk to you.
Who is it?
My name is Victor Crosby, Annie.
How do you do?
You smell like beef and cheese.
Mr. Crosby, this is my husband, Sorrel.
Mr. Crane. Howdy.
Why don't we all sit in the office here? I think we'll be more comfortable.
Good idea. My feet are just killing me.
Carolyn, come with us, please.
All right.
No, you're right. The husband is like, what's going on? What is this all about? You know, it's,
It's like, shut up.
Just told, I mean, she could have told him some, right? I mean, instead of telling Caroline.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's the thing. We've always, you know, as an adopted parent, and we've always talked about, like, what we would do in this situation. There's, like, a billion different, like, scenarios.
Sure.
They would have went through. I would think they would have went through just to prepare. If this happens, we do this. If this happens, we do this. And I feel like they would have had a plan. It's not like they had TV to distract them or anything.
Is this something that you and your husband have discussed at all?
Pretty much so. And I won't go into any sort of
details. I'm sorry. I'm bringing up something very personal.
No, but... no, you're fine. No, it's fine. It's just, it's something I don't think like a lot of people talk about. So I'm glad that I can talk about it. So, there's definitely plans and things like that. Like we have, a child who knows, she's adopted, and her younger sister is her full biological sister. She's so much younger. She only really knows us as mother and daddy.
Sure. You
know, so, and the other one, she knows, and we're never, you know, we've always, cause you go through training and things like that, just behavioral things to expect.
Mm-hmm.
So we've always just kind of plan out things like what happens if this, what, you know, how do we approach the subject of biological parents? And this is another thing that just kind of irks me in this episode. And it's the 1970s or 1980s. Sorry. So of Halloween. Course, not everything. Yeah. Not everything's going to be, I don't even want to call it PC, but it's just when he says real mother and, you know, we use the term biological parents instead. Mm. And that's a term that gets used as bios and biological parents because, you know, obviously this woman did not do all the raising and the parenting of this child. So, so calling her real mother kind of is just like, eh.
Yeah, so. No, I get it. And just, you know, the word biological parent really explains precisely what you're trying to get across.
Yeah, we never, and that's one thing. And I do feel like as she talks about it later in the episode, Helen, she dances around and doesn't like criticize her at all. And that's one thing that we're always kind of taught. You shouldn't really, you know, criticize any biological parent because, you know, you never know what the child is feeling.
You know, I know that we accidentally chose this episode. We meant to do something else, but I can't think of a better person to really cover this episode with.
I know, it's kind of a fluke.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes it's just meant to be. It's like Bob Ross says, it's a happy accident.
Yeah, happy accident.
All right, but this is where just, you know, it all hits the fan. And, yeah, we get some dramatic acting here.
My wife, Marge, asked me if I'd come to see you. She hasn't been too well of late.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She,
Yes, yes. Get to it, sir. Get to it. We don't have all day.
He's got such an awkward thing to do.
It's like, I didn't realize how long this clip was. Holy cow. To get to it, man.
She's your mother, Annie. I know this visit must come as a shock to you after all these years, but...
I hated this. He crouched... She's sitting down, and she's just stone-faced when he says this. And he crouches down and gets closer to her face and then continues to talk this way. I know that personally I would handle it differently. That's all. I wouldn't be like aggressive about it, but it's like kind of like give her a little space here. You're talking about something freaking serious.
Why did he have to be that close to her too?
Yeah.
Well, as folks get older, it's
like you're not related to her. You know, it's back it up.
It's harder for him to keep things inside. Feelings. And she desperately wants you to know that she loves you, and she wants to
see me. Yes. Just once. If you...
She made herself cry there. I don't know if you noticed that. She starts out the scene without a tear, and then there's a tear. So I don't know how they did that. Laser beams. I'm not sure. Could be.
It would make her so happy.
Why would I want to make her happy, Mr. Crosby? What in God's name did she ever do for me?
Well, Annie, try to understand.
No! You understand and you tell her. What did you say my mother's name was, March? Tell her that I hate her. I hate her and I don't ever want her near me. Now get out!
Annie, I know you feel you have a right to...
A right! My mother threw me away like a broken doll. I was going blind. Who wants a blind child? Get rid of it. Go away. Forget it. You can always have another one. Oh, Mr. Crosby, I don't forgive her. You tell her that.
This whole scene really got me. Like, I was like, oh, I didn't expect this to actually be, you know, an emotional episode. Michael Landon needs to be in this room. And it's... Yeah, I was like, oh, wow. I mean, it's pretty intense. I would imagine that these are genuine type of emotions that might go through a child's head. If you don't have the answers, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that and... Well, I mean, and again, I feel like I always keep going back. But when you have time to just sit and think about things, I mean... I feel like we've all had that one kind of embarrassing moment in our childhood that we're like, why did I do that? So this poor girl, like,
three a day.
This poor girl's like reflecting, like, okay, what did I do to make my mom not like?
Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
When it's that's really never the answer, you know. But you know, there's always the, it's got to be my fault. Well, what else could it be? So sad. Of course, her her adopted father finally opens his mouth.
Now get out.
Oh, well, after this.
I think you'd better go, Mr. Crosby.
And he goes on. He just, you know, has to have the final word. And it's just like, look, man, you're clearly, this isn't going to work out this way. Today, this isn't going to happen. Yeah, just accept that and move on. You know, maybe try again another way. Write a letter, like I said. That would have been nice. Now you know where she is. You know, it's the next scene is the Halloween scene.
Yeah.
Right? Well, it is cool. It's a great, like, it's a beautifully shot scene.
Are we talking about the Carolyn and?
Well, when Annie is looking out the window.
Yes.
Yeah. Not so much with Ma, like before Ma comes in the room or when she's standing on the other side of the room. I was like, oh, wow, this is a really nice looking scene. And I'll play some of this. I think it's worthwhile. Caroline basically comes to check on Annie.
I knock as softly as I could. I thought maybe you'd be asleep.
Those damn crickets, they came all the way from Water Grove. This is a very quiet episode. I keep adjusting the volume, but it's like one scene is lower than the next. So, sorry about that.
I'm not really tired. It's all the excitement, I guess. I've been downstairs talking with Mary and Adam. The whole school's excited.
We haven't heard one word from Adam. We just saw him smiling. Like, hey. Did we hear from Mary?
Well, I don't know. I feel like they just smiled. I feel like they were just, there was one scene and I just burst out laughing. They were just all looking at that Mr. Unger and they're like blind looking at him.
Yeah.
It was like, what?
That was a weird scene. And also Adam needed the shave. I was just like, what's going on here? Sleepy eyes changing, y'all. See, I said y'all. That was to make you feel comfortable. See what I do for you, Stephanie. All
right. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. Y'all.
Oh, dear.
It probably hurts your ears when I see
yes.
it.
The idea that one of their former classmates is a famous artist. How's all the children? On a cloud.
Really famous.
You're on your way. You heard what Mr. Unger said. Another exhibit here in 3 weeks. Dealers coming from all over the country.
It's crickets.
You should be very proud.
I suppose. What time are we leaving tomorrow?
In the morning?
It's just, this is a weird little thing here. It's just kind of, I don't know. Because she really is in a rush to go home, and I don't know. The whole thing just seems kind of strange to me.
Whenever you like.
I'd like to go home as soon as possible, please. I want to paint.
All right. We'll leave at 7.
I would love it if she goes, we should make it 8. It's kind of early.
Also, you should burn that dress. It doesn't look good on you.
Not working for your girlfriend. Did you buy that out of a catalog? Because it looks like you bought it out of a catalog.
Oh, dear.
But it would be funny if she's like, I want to kind of sleep in at 7. 7's early. Maybe up at 9.
Oh, they're all farmers. Don't they all get up at 4?
She's not a farmer. She's an artiste. Have you even watched the episode?
Nah, I haven't. Where's Mr. Edwards?
Any minute now, you're telling your husband. He's going to burst in any minute now. Telling you. What's your husband's first name?
Lee.
Any minute now, Lee. It's going to be coming in. He's gonna. Everybody's going to be like, woohoo.
We're going to hear that old Dan Tucker credit.
Old Dan Tucker. Yeah, exactly.
Be ready.
Breakfast buffet downstairs is from 7 to 10.
It's a fine school.
They have the waffles. They have the waffle machine where you pour it in and you flip it.
Oh, I love it.
I love hotel waffles.
I know, right?
Nothing quite like a hotel waffle. And I always get a bowl of oatmeal, even though I'm like, I'm never going to eat this. It's free. It's free. All right. It was a nice looking scene, I thought. It was very interesting. Let's see. All right, so we're back in Walnut Grove. And I thought she was going to lose her gift or her passion for art. I wasn't sure where this was all going. So her mother brings her lemonade, which is so nice of her to bring out. Oh, wow, I just saw it. Holy cow. Found a fern.
Oh, yeah.
Found an outside fern. Thank you.
Well, you need to put, mark a little tally mark on it.
Oh, no, something. I took a screenshot. Thank you. there'll be a coffee table book one day.
What do you think of it?
Oh, I don't know. It's so different from your other work.
I know. But
this is what I say to my son's Minecraft world. It's so weird, and I'm going to throw up if you keep running around like this.
It's amazing.
But but this has got to be a shock. I mean, your child is painting all these beautiful colors and bright, vivid landscapes, and yeah, it changes.
Well, I mean, you feel it. You definitely feel it. Like, I mean, she's had her whole world kind of turned upside down, and it didn't give her any closure or anything, because obviously, you know, it's a show, and you can't communicate the whole story and until the end, obviously. But, I mean, going back to when I was taking a painting class, I didn't kind of realize this at the time. I was in my very early 20s, and I was struggling with some depression, anxiety things, I would go in, my teacher is so low key. He would just, as long as you could either do a painting or progress a new painting, you could just do whatever and leave. And, I was cranking out a painting like every, class, and we had like three nights a week.
Right.
And, looking back, I had them all in a box, and I was going through them like a year or two ago, and I was just like, I had gotten diagnosed like with anxiety, depression, like later on after that class, but like going and looking at them and like physically go back, like kind of brings you back. And I was like, wow. I was like, how does my family not see this? And just like, are you okay? Like, I looked at them and they just looked so like, you could tell someone was like struggling with something looking at that. It kind of really did remind me of this picture she did of Marge, Mother Marge. It was just kind of like, ooh.
But you know, sometimes I think sometimes parents don't know where to look.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, I don't know. I just feel like there's so much to view as a parent that you don't know whether you should interpret the art this way or, I don't know. I don't know if it's as obvious as we seem to. I mean, you lived it. So of course you know that was your outcome. You know, like that was your, the presentation of your feelings. I just have to wonder if it would be obvious to somebody who might not have known that you were going through something and coping.
Yeah, I think my parents think I was just kind of going like through like some sort of an angsty age or something. Because I was such a good kid growing up, reading my little house books and right. stuff. So, and they're like, oh, she's just going through her teenage years in her early 20s or something.
Wow. Well, you know what? It's, art is just, it is a really great outlet if you're good at it, which I'm not. I covered that already ad nauseum. And it's a great outlet. And so we are in the kitchen with Nellie and Caroline.
Love this thing.
You know, I just noticed that their sink is, probably a tin sink. I have to look that up. I wonder. Is a tin sink something? Was that a thing that they actually used?
Is it tin or is it like galvanized?
It could be. It could be rolled steel or something. Yeah. Would tin rust?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if tin rusts. It would be something that does not rust.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of curious. But here we go. We have this scene. It has little to do with the episode, but it's a great way to break up all of this craziness. By the way, we've yet to see Pa.
Yeah.
We've yet to see Albert. We've yet to see Almanzo or Laura or anyone.
It's been Caroline.
Yeah. Shipping, you know, driving back and forth from the city and going away for days at crazy, crazy.
Oh, I love it. Mm. You better go easy on that whipped cream, young lady. You know, the more you put on, the more you have to take off.
Yeah.
That is not nice. Mm-mm. That is really just not appropriate. But that's Caroline. So yeah, we have Percival come bursting in, and he is Percival. I think we all love Percival. I do.
I love him. I love him and her together.
Yeah, and then you mix in Harriet, and it's just it's perfect gold. Comedic timing on this episode of Caroline. Kiss my grits.
Ellie.
In the kitchen, Percival.
Nellie, I have to talk to you.
Now, I want you to listen to this scene, and I almost want to re-edit it. And picture there being a laugh track, okay? And picture, like, when he walks in, like, there being that type of the applause that, you know, the big star just walked in. It's set up like a sitcom. It genuinely
it is. Totally is.
So I'm just going to play it nonstop from this point on.
Certainly, dearest.
All right. Now, you asked me to promise not to argue with your mother, and I have been trying, have I not?
Yes, you have.
I didn't yell when your mother insisted that you have your supper lying down on the sofa, now did I?
No.
And I didn't yell when your mother began serving you breakfast in bed, whether I was up or not, now did I?
No, you didn't.
And I didn't yell when your mother told me not to hold you too close because I might squish the baby, now did I?
No.
But now, just now, your mother has informed me that I am no longer allowed to sleep in the same bed with my wife. Mrs. Ingalls?
Percival.
Nellie, I'm going to ask your permission to allow me to break my promise and yell at your mother.
Percival! Where are you? You have my permission.
In here, Mother.
Percival, darling, I haven't finished with you. Oh, my goodness, Nellie, darling, why aren't you lying down?
Because I don't want her to lie down. I want her to stand up.
But
and I want her to sit up when she's having her dinner. And if she is going to have breakfast in bed, she is going to do so with me. And I am going to sleep every night with my wife in our room. And if I want to hold my wife or kiss my wife, I will do so anywhere or anytime I darn well choose to, like right now.
Oh, you animal!
Yes.
It was a comedy sketch, legitimately, right? Oh, my God.
Love it. Oh, you animal. They're married and she's pregnant. Like, that's not the worst.
Calling Nels, who's also not in this episode. All right, so Helen comes to town and sits down with Caroline. Caroline doesn't seem too busy in the restaurant very often.
Mm-mm.
But she's sitting down and she's going to talk to Helen about what's up.
Tell me about it.
Annie is so changed. All of her joy, her energy, it's gone. And even her paintings are... Oh, I wish you could see them.
Can I have one? Yeah, so they go on about...
I don't know what to do. When that man first came to me, I was so afraid of what would happen if Annie went to her. And now I'm afraid of what will happen if Annie doesn't.
Would she go to see her?
No. She just wants to keep on hating her.
What if Mrs. Crosby came here?
I don't know.
Mr. Crosby left a number where they can be reached.
Do you think she'd come?
We can only try.
Oh, no. I'm afraid if I did that, she might hate me, too.
I could do it. Just a nosy neighbor butting in.
So they decide to give her a call on the telephone. This is... I don't recall there being too much technology in this episode up to this point.
Yeah, like, they actually have one in their house.
They must be doing okay, right? I mean, meaning the Crosbys.
He's like a bartender, or maybe he owns the bar.
Possible. He is, you know, he seems like a pretty loving husband. She's in bed. She's not well. I don't know what's wrong with her. She's well enough sometimes. So she's giving her a massage.
Comes and it goes.
Yeah, comes and it goes. Just get me some more of those drinking powders. He's giving her a massage. I mean, what? It's wonderful.
I'd like that. Oh, land sakes, that scared me.
Sounds of the modern age. Hello. Yes? Mrs. Ingalls? Yes?
Yes. It's real one-sided conversation.
I don't know. Yes, of course. Just a moment.
So Caroline wants to know if they want to buy the painting from her. No. so that they have something from their daughter.
And she's also selling these fabulous magazine subscriptions. They just have to act now.
Exactly. And they have this thing called Tupperware, where it has a lifetime warranty. Do you know Tupperware has a lifetime warranty? I didn't know this.
I feel like I've heard that, but how'd you even go about that?
My wife got suckered into a Tupperware party. I say suckered, but, you know, she's basically went there and... I have like one Tupperware thing that the thing doesn't stay closed. I probably had this thing for 30 years. And she brought it up to the woman and she said, well, it has a lifetime warranty. Just bring it and we'll give you, you know, a replacement for it. But it's, so my wife's like, all right, I'll send you an email and you'll tell me the whole thing. The woman just totally ghosted my wife. Like, and, yeah, I don't think my wife bought anything either. So I think it's a lifetime warranty if you're willing to buy something new.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I'm like, well, what'd you expect?
It's the Mrs. Ingalls I mentioned to you.
She's coming. And he's coming.
Why are you excited that Mrs. Ingalls is coming? No, but she's, of course, Annie's mom thinks that Annie would come.
No, she wondered if you could go to her. She...
I can't.
Marge, I understand your feelings, but...
I can't. I'm too sick to travel. You tell her that. Please, Victor.
So do you think she's ashamed of her blindness? Or what? Like, what's going on with this woman? At this point, I thought maybe she's agoraphobic. She's just afraid of leaving.
I mean, it could be. I mean, he does seem to get her out at some point, spoilers, but I don't get it. It's so wishy-washy. Like, she was super cool with her coming to her, but,
yeah,
you know, her going to, you know, to her, it's not, I don't know.
It doesn't make a difference, but they declined the offer. And, like, well, at least we tried. It's, you know, let's move on. Hopefully Annie kind of, you know, grows out of this. I mean, it's, what else can they do? And then we have Charles Ingalls out of nowhere. We're like, what the heck's going on? And and he's complaining about Laura.
No, I know.
And
algebra.
Yeah. Blame the Greeks. But here we go.
Well, I checked all Albert's spelling and history homework. You're going to have to check his algebra. I can't make heads or tails out of it.
All right.
Why Laura has to teach algebra anyway, you'd think plain old cipher and it'd be good enough.
It sounds like what people say with Common Core. It's the same exact argument.
Don't blame Laura. Blame the Greeks. They started it.
You've been reading the same page in that Bible for over an hour.
The devil did it.
I'm not really reading it.
Did you say the devil did it?
Yeah.
The devil's to blame.
Sorry, it's still a mass joke.
Thinking about Annie.
Yes. And her mother. Her real mother. If only she would have come to see Annie.
That's the line you were saying that you didn't really care.
Yeah, and she is an adoptive mother herself to Albert. Like, what are you saying that
yeah,
for?
Yeah, good point. To a bunch of kids. You know, like, there's... at this point... It's just
Albert. At this point, it's just Albert. I think
then there's
season.
James and Cassandra.
Yeah, crying face girl.
The crying Ooh. Face girl.
Woman's ill. There's nothing
wrong with that. I don't believe she is that ill. He had me wait on the telephone while he went to talk to her.
He had you wait? You know, make Caroline Ingalls wait. Did you say that you knew me? I'm Charles Ingalls. They write songs about me. Jeez.
He must have asked her if she'd go to Annie. He wouldn't have even asked her if she was that sick.
That could be right.
She just doesn't care enough.
Be so sure about that. Pretty hard for a parent not to care. Just look in the Old Testament, Absalom. Was trying to kill his own father, and yet when he died, King David asked God to take him instead.
Why doesn't she come?
don't know, guilt?
Perhaps. Charles, could I use the wagon again on Friday?
Sure.
Annie's mother lives in Bradleyville. Well, I don't know their address, but I'm sure I could find it. If the mountain will not come to Muhammad, Muhammad must go to the mountain.
What are we talking about here? Muhammad?
Carolyn's switched face.
Exactly.
It was one of those long wagon rides to Sleepy Eye. She met
Yeah, like she came across a Buddhist monk or something. Like,
yeah.
What's going on here? Very, very strange. I looked this up and it comes, the saying dates back to 1625, but I don't know if it would have really come across her learning. Maybe, who knows? I just thought it was kind of a strange out of character comment. It's a new show now. It's Caroline.
Yeah.
The Quiner. It's just called Quiner. it's a very strange thing. This whole, her riding back and forth from these cities. And did you catch the name of the town that they live in?
Was it Bradley?
Yeah, it was Bradley. I didn't catch that the first time, so I'm going to see if this is a real place. I think it was Bradley. I'm just going to go back real quick.
King David asked God to take him instead.
Okay.
Charles, could I use the wagon again on Friday?
Sure.
Annie's mother lives in Bradleyville.
Bradleyville?
Bradleyville, okay.
It sounds like a made-up Dr. Seuss type thing, you know? Yeah. Welcome to Bradleyville. Yeah, Bradleyville, Missouri. It's a real place. I'll do a quick distance between that and Walnut Grove, and we'll see what the deal is. But, all right. So Caroline basically stalks Mr. Crosby, goes into town, finds out where he works. He runs a pub, maybe. I'm not really sure. Bartender, pub owner, let's say that he owns it. Why not? He could own it. It looks like a nice establishment. Men drinking.
Mm-hmm.
So in the next scene, we have Mr. Crosby and his wife, and they're riding, and they're so happy to just be out in the sun. It's a really nice day.
The sun feels wonderful.
Well, I told you it'd do you good to get out in the air for a while. There's a little town down the road. I thought we might stop. Go to services.
You want to go to church? I can't get you to do that at home.
Well, I just thought it might be interesting to hear a new preacher. Maybe he won't be as long-winded as Reverend Haley.
Why, Victor Crosby, you should be ashamed of yourself talking like that.
Well, so should Reverend Haley.
Womp, womp. So there's a Bradleyville in Missouri, but, that's nowhere near. It's over 600 miles away, so I'm still trying to find.
Probably just one of those conveniently made-up ones.
There's one, Illinois is closer, but that's 500 miles. But that's just the town of Bradley. But yeah, I think you're right. It's definitely made up. So where are we? We're going to go to church.
Someone needs to be there to help bring in the sheaves.
Somebody needs Jesus. Bring in the sheaves. They love that song, don't they?
They love that.
Yeah. Did you notice that Baby Grace is super playful with Karen Grossley?
Yeah, she's like.
So, yeah, I thought that was cute. I thought it was sweet. But here we go. We have announcements to make. Now, I also want a picture. I'm going to play this, and I might play it one more time after I point out something. So here we go.
Hold your loved ones close, and you'll hold God in your heart. Well, before we go, we'd like to take this opportunity to congratulate Annie Crane on her successful art exhibit, to give her our best wishes for her future exhibits. Annie, you've made us all very proud. That's all for this week. May God go with you.
Papa and I'll go get the wagon. I'll be right back.
And people are walking by and they're smiling at her, but shouldn't people have applauded? Shouldn't people have clapped?
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know what kind of denomination this is or whatever, but it just seems like they would have not gotten away to this kind of reveal point without some sort of more interaction. I mean, yeah, that little pat her on the shoulder, congratulations or something, not just leave her by herself.
They're just looking at her like Albert walks by and just kind of smiles at her. She doesn't know you're smiling at her. She's blind. So say like, hey, that's great. You know, be verbal. So I'm going to play it one more time and just imagine if there was applause. It would be nicer.
Congratulate Annie Crane on her successful art exhibit. Give her our best wishes for her future exhibits. Annie, you've made us all very proud. That's all for this week. May God go with you.
Papa and I'll go get the wagon. I'll be right back.
Yeah, you go do that. People just shuffling out, like.
It seems like he specifically said, congratulate.
Annie. Yes.
Nothing. It's like crickets. Where's the crickets now?
Yeah, that's a good point. But thankfully, we do get a quick little thing. So this is what happens in the next scene.
Old Antucket was fine, old man. Lost his face in a frying pan. Combed his hair with a wagon wheel. Died with a toothache in his heel.
And he walks in. It's Mr. Edwards. Holy cow, I've been waiting the whole episode. Finally. You did not waste your time. Lee, if you're listening, you did not waste your time. He's right here. I'll play it one more time for your husband.
Old Antucket was a fine old man. Lost his face in a frying pan. Combed his hair with a wagon wheel. Died with a toothache in his heel.
So, yeah. That's perfect.
Love it.
I'm just so happy when he finally shows up. Because, you know,
it's the best part.
It's like a sleeper episode. I also did not like the way the mother, not the, the way Helen just says, we're going to go get the wagon. And they basically abandon their daughter with this woman who they know that Annie does not want to see her. Now, it's okay that you don't want to see her, but talk to her. Communicate. She's not a child. I did not like that at all.
I mean, I feel like I would have been like in that little, I guess, alcove area, at least just hanging back, or they could have shown her just hanging back.
You don't know what this woman's going to do.
Yeah.
With a red bonnet on. But I know that if I was in this position, I would say something better than this.
Been.
I would say better than how you been. Or at least I would introduce myself first. How you been? Well, dummy. Like, I don't know you. Oh my god. All right.
Fine. Who is it? I'm sorry, I don't recognize your voice.
I am your mother, Annie.
What are you doing here?
Well, I didn't know you were here. I swear to God.
I don't want you here.
I know. I don't blame you.
So it's a real tragic little scene there. I mean, you were supposed to feel bad. I do feel bad. It's because the truth does come out, and it's, of course, a tragic story. But I don't know. I can't help but be a little bit on Annie's side about being strong and having the courage to stand up to this person. But at the same time, the circumstances, of course, are pretty dismal. I'll play some of the truth that comes out.
What color is your hair? It was so blonde when you were first born, but it started to darken. What color is it? Brown?
to see you.
And she touches her face.
So lovely, so very lovely. I had scarlet fever while I was carrying you. It was only a matter of time, the doctor said. It grew darker every day. If I had only had a family, oh, someone.
Why didn't you tell me?
Well, I didn't want you to come to me that beautiful.
I love you, Mama. Understand now. Hold me. Hold me.
And I got to be honest, I feel really bad for Helen right now. And exactly. Maybe not less for Sorrel. Sorrel probably is unaware that this is even happening. Nobody tells him anything.
Yeah, and I won't say it, but you can probably play it because, you know, Laura has to get her 2 cents in at the end.
Like her little voice. Holy cow.
I do not like what she says at the end. But yeah, I definitely feel bad for Helen.
You know, Melissa Gilbert's voice is sometimes very full of youth, and she sounds like a child here. As she gets older, though, it smooths out, but I think you'll hear exactly what she's kind of chipmunky. You'll hear.
Annie Crane's second exhibit was an even bigger success than the first. Mr. Unger said that her new works were filled with joy and love, especially the one Annie titled, My Mama.
Where's the one called Oh Brother? No, it's a sweet ending, I guess. I know what you're saying. It doesn't really resonate so great, and I don't see Helen in that last shot.
Yeah, I mean,
do I?
No, you don't. I don't think you see her. I don't think you see.
It's her standing with Marge.
Yeah.
And there's a painting of them.
Well, and no, it's not. Yeah, she's there. Helen and Sorrel are there to the left with her.
Oh yeah, I recognize his corduroy jacket.
Corduroy jacket.
Yeah.
Serious corduroy.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, it's a wrap up ending, you know, for Little House.
It's Little House. So. Yeah.
We're never going to see them again. They're going to fall in the mine shaft, and we'll never see them again.
You never know. No, we know. We know they never return.
Well, she's got to come back to fall in love with Mr. Edwards.
You know, if Caroline had been picked up, you know, as a real series, we might have actually. She would have been like the art curator. She would have been like, you know what? Caroline would have worked in the basement restoring art.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, you know, she would not be divorced from Charles, but she would be working there. We wouldn't have a real explanation as for why she has to live in Sleepy Eye. But it would be nice. It would be a good, it would be an interesting spinoff. And you'd have like Sherman Hemsley maybe walking in every once in a while. some strange. Well, this is NBC, so maybe we would get a Gary Coleman at this point, a very young Gary Coleman. What are you talking about, Caroline? All right,
we had them. What's the name in there? So
lately, I've gone down this rabbit hole of Little House on the Prairie fan fiction, which I do not enjoy. And
oh dear.
It's just so bananas and crazy that, I don't know, my mind really does wander, and I start thinking about these alternative universes that could exist, and I guess that's the whole point of fan fiction, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan of the entire genre. Sorry, Steph. Don't call me Steph. Well, Stephanie Bailey, thank you so much for sharing so much and for spending this time reviewing this really, I don't know, pretty decent episode, actually.
Yeah, Y'all had fun.
I could have used more Albert. Could have used more Pa.
Yeah.
Use some milking. I was happy to see the Percival and Nelly and Harriet moment.
Oh, yeah. Gotta love it. That's the spinoff I want to see. I want them.
It was really the crux of the entire episode. That's the clip that they would play during the week, you know, as the teaser.
Yeah.
Take a next Thursday, Caroline, following Little House. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast.